We hear a lot about the way we should eat, and it's pretty evident that many Americans don't eat what's best for them. And I say that after eating a grilled pork chop today, but I had the sweet potato with the cinnamon butter and the marshmallows and the caramel sauce on it. But I had the grilled pork chop. But, you know, our diets have changed quite a bit from the diet of our parents and grandparents. I want to share a few facts and figures with you. Prior to the 1900s, the average American ate about 5 pounds of sugar per year. Brennan ate 5 pounds of sugar yesterday. Now, according to the Center for Science and the Public Interest, those guys, they say the average American in 1999 ate 158 pounds of sugar per year, an average of two to three pounds per week. I don't know what the updated figures are. In 1942, the average American consumed 60 12-ounce colas per year. In 1997, the average was 576 12-ounce servings. In the 1950s, the average American ate 4 pounds of French fries per year. In 2001, we ate an average of 30 pounds per year per person. Today, less than 28 Americans meet the USDA guidelines for daily fruit consumption, and only 32% meet the USDA guidelines for vegetable consumption. And Ethan brought that average way down. People know that these kind of changes over the years in diet have had an effect on people's on their health and on their waistline. But, you know, not here to talk about our physical health, even though that's something we ought to try to do better at. But our spiritual diet is what we want to talk about tonight. Unfortunately, on spiritual diets, a lot of people don't do a whole lot better than what people have done over the years on their physical diets. Many people that consider themselves to be religious and even, you know, religious conservatives don't take in a whole lot of spiritual sustenance. And I'm concerned that even among those that consider themselves to be part of the Lord's church, many times they're not taking in as much spiritual sustenance as they used to. Edwin Crozier, who I like a lot of his writing, he said it this way: we like our religion like we like our food, fast, easy, tasty, low on nutrients and sugar-coated. And I think that's probably pretty accurate. People are very drawn to what I would consider sugar-coated Christianity, or at least sugar-coated preaching, where it's short on scripture but long on illustrations and things that tickle the ears of people. And certainly I use illustrations from time to time, and there's a place for that. Jesus used illustrations in his teaching, in his parables, and certainly that's appropriate. But, you know, when we get into storytelling all the time and not, you know, preaching the scripture, then we have a problem. So there are many who attend a worship service, you know, maybe somewhere every week, but really not getting a whole lot of what it is that they need scripture-wise. In the passage that was read this evening, I apologize to Rex, I didn't get the updated passage to him for the announcement. I changed my mind after the bulletin was published about what I was going to preach on. But in the prophet Amos, Amos prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel about 750 years before Christ. And it was a time of great prosperity. And sometimes when people are prosperous, they don't concentrate on the things that they ought to. You know, the future looks good. Amos says that there are things that they were forgetting. There were things from a spiritual perspective that they were not getting that they really needed. And so God's people were going to suffer because of a famine of hearing God's word. In verses 9 through 12 of Amos chapter 8, the prophet says, "It shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." So here we see the prophet is describing these things that would be a concern to people, that you know they're going to become like somebody who's lost a child and lost an only child, and sackcloth on every waist. And I guess there are a lot of people that didn't want to go bald too, because baldness on every head. And that there was going to be this famine, not for things for physical nourishment, but it was going to be a famine of God's Word that was going to cause them to wander spiritually. And so God's people would suffer from malnutrition, and God was going to allow them to suffer. And it's not that God would deny them the food that they needed. It's that they didn't want to eat it. You know, we've heard a lot of stories these days about school lunch programs where, the kids are being told that they need to eat certain things, and things are being taken off of the list. And, you know, the kids are just not liking the tomato and cucumber salad for some reason. You know, they're not liking the vegetables and things that, and so those things are getting thrown away. They don't want it. That's not what their taste buds want when there's not a parent there to make them eat it like my parents did. You know, my dad kept telling me, you can learn to like squash. And, you know, lo and behold, I did. I will actually order squash and pay for it today. But I sure didn't like eating it when I was a kid. But there are things that are nutritious for children to eat. And if they have the choice and somebody's not there making them eat it, they're not going to eat the nutritious thing. And so what I'm saying here is that God's not saying, well, you really want the food, you really want the spiritual food, and I'm just not going to let you have any. No, it was their choice. They were choosing not to be nourished spiritually. And God had been sending them nutrition. God had been sending them prophets. He sent them Amos. He sent them Isaiah. He had sent many prophets to them that they would not heed the word. So the malnutrition is on them. It's not on God. It's because they chose not to partake of it. In Amos chapter 5, in verse 10, the prophet says, "They hate the one who rebukes in the gate. They abhor the one who speaks uprightly." So the one that is bringing them the message, the one that's telling them, now you've got to eat your spiritual vegetables, you've got to do these things, you need to pay attention to the word of the Lord. Everything is good. Everything is plenty and comfort and leisure in that time. So why do they need to listen? Israel rejected God's counsel. And Amaziah, the false priest of Bethel, even forbid Amos from speaking truth in the city. And if one refuses to eat what God is providing, then they are going to go away spiritually hungry. Let's look over at Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, starting in verse 10. "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, 'Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile and away from the land.' And Amaziah said to Amos, 'O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Eat bread there and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the temple of the kingdom.' Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, 'I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, "Go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear what the word of the Lord has said. You say, "Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac." Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. And your land shall be divided up with a measuring line, and you yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. So, you know, the prophet is saying, you know, if you're not going to let me speak the words of the Lord, the end result is not going to be favorable for you. And so Israel had rejected God's counsel. And there were those that were forbidding Amos from even talking about God's counsel. So the famine of God's word was because people would not listen, not because God was keeping anything away from them. Another example of this same type of problem is found, you know, with the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a calling as well to go and speak to the people. He was called to speak for God. While he was living in exile in Babylon, he was serving as a priest, and he revealed several different visions in his prophecy concerning judgment that was going to come upon Judah. And he also had some prophecies concerning the coming of God's kingdom. And Ezekiel's job was to save the remnant, the few that had remained faithful to God. But Judah, as a nation, was corrupt, and the words of the Lord from Ezekiel were not going to be well received, just as they weren't well received from Amos. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and we'll read, this is a short chapter, we'll read through chapter 3 and verse 4. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I will send to you the people of Israel, to the nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and all their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn, and I sent you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, and whether they hear you or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. So you see the pattern here is that God is telling Ezekiel, you've got to say what I tell you to say, and it doesn't matter how you were treated, and you may not be treated well because they are rebellious. Going on, verse 8, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it out before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat the scroll and go. Speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my stomach, or in my mouth, it was sweet as honey. And so here we see that the people will not listen, but Ezekiel is still commanded not to be afraid or be intimidated because they were rebellious. He was to continue to speak, and whether or not they accepted it, he was still to do it. In chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it talks about them being stubborn and impudent and rebellious. But what we see here that's very interesting is that Ezekiel is told to eat the scroll. Now, what does this mean? This is an unusual request of God to Ezekiel. Why would God tell tell him to do this. Well, you know, in this vision, in this message, it was imperative that the prophet digest the word first before attempting to take it to others. One commentary says God's messenger must first inwardly appropriate God's truth himself before he speaks it to others. And so what we see in this request for him to eat the scroll is that there is a relationship between the Word of God and between the people who are going to teach it. And one thing that we can determine from this is, first of all, I don't think many of us have eaten any scrolls recently, but have we figuratively eaten any scrolls? You know, maybe God wants Ezekiel to develop an appetite for His Word and not be afraid to go and spread that to others. God doesn't want us to be without His Word either. He wants us to develop an appetite for His words. In verse 8 of chapter 2, He says, "Eat what I give you." And when I read this, I thought, this sounds a lot like what I was told when I was growing up. You need to eat what your mother fixed. You need to eat what's put before you, including that squash. But Ezekiel is commanded to open wide and eat what God is going to provide. And you know what? You know, some people are picky eaters. And some people can eat just about anything. You know, several years ago when we went on a cruise, I was surprised at how adventurous Ethan was at eating things. You know, escargot, you know what that is. It's snails. Well, they called it snails. People wouldn't want to eat it. But Ethan ate escargot, and I wasn't about to touch that. And he decided that he didn't want it, but I couldn't even put it on the fork and lift it to my mouth, much less try it and see if I liked it. Now, he's a pickier eater now, but he would eat just about anything exotic that would be put before him, he'd try it. But, you know, many people won't do that. But when we talk about this spiritual message to Ezekiel, you eat what I give you, he needs to do that, and he doesn't need to be shy about it. He needs to go ahead and do it. Eat what God provides. Whatever God said, whatever He's giving you, that's what you need to swallow. That's what you need to put in your mouth, and then you need to spread that to others. And that's exactly what we need to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11 tells us, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, Peter was telling us that he was not ashamed to command Christians to speak only as God speaks, and we needed to do that. As an apostle, he had taken that course. He had done that, even when he was commanded to do otherwise. There were people that told him to be quiet and not speak anymore. In Acts chapter 4, Peter says, after he and John have been told not to speak, he says, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So why is it that sometimes people will refuse to eat what it is that God supplies? Ezekiel was told, "You eat the scroll." Why would we refuse to take what God has given us, what God has provided through His Word? Well, there's several different reasons that we can apply this metaphor of eating. Well, some don't like the taste. If we want to eat what God provides, it may be because we like the taste. But some people don't like the taste. It confronts our sensibilities of what it is that we want to do. It confronts our sensibilities of what we think should be right and wrong. And when God tells us to do something different, if we don't like the taste of it, then we spit that out. And, you know, there are some that simply are not hungry. I don't know what that's like. I'm hungry all the time. But there are those that are materialists. They don't see any value in spiritual truth. They don't see any value in seeking God if they believe in God at all. They're not hungry for anything spiritual at all. So why would that one refuse to eat what God provides? Well, they're not hungry for that. They don't have any interest in anything spiritual or spiritually related. Or sometimes people just want something else. You know, if you give a child a choice, would you like to have liver and onions or would you like to have ice cream? Now, I don't give me liver and onions ever, please. But, you know, if I had to make that choice, I know what I would choose. I would never choose livers and onions. I would want vitamin-enriched ice cream. Get my vitamins that way. But, you know, spiritually speaking, you see people that want something else, people will seek out a congregation, they'll seek out a church that practices what it is that they believe. And if there's a church that tells them that they're in a marriage that they don't belong in, well, they'll seek out a church that tells them, well, your marriage is okay. Or it may be any number of different things that people are seeking out. You know, I want a church that fits me. And so they can go find that based on whatever criteria there is. And people can find what it is that they're looking for. If they're looking for something that's sweeter, that's not good for them, you know, you can find what it is that you want. So people will refuse to eat what God provides because they don't like the taste, because they're not hungry, they just want something else. But what God tells Ezekiel is you need to eat this. You need to eat what God provides. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 tells us, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 10. The prophet says, "There was writing on the inside and on the outside, and written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe." So how much of it was Ezekiel to eat? Well, he was to eat all of it. And that didn't sound very appetizing, considering that the scroll was written on both sides and it was full of bad news. It was full of lamentations and woe and suffering. You know, John was given a similar command in the Revelation, in Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. Revelation chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. "Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth.' So I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth.' Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, the stomach became bitter. And he said to me, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.'" And what this sounds like, it sounds like this request was for the same purpose, that John was to recognize that the words of God were not always appealing. It tasted good, but it made his stomach bitter, made his stomach upset. And so, sometimes the word of the Lord can be a bitter experience. And some prophets were passionate about proclaiming the word of God, but the same word condemned them. Eli is an example. Eli was one that was passionate about proclaiming the word of God to a nation that was rebellious, but that same word condemned him. And so the word may be easy to eat at first, but it loses its taste when we start having to apply it. We need to remember that the word of the Lord needs to be consumed, and it needs to take its effect on us. The parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13 talks about the different types of hearts that receive the word. And there is the thorny ground and the rocky ground and the good ground. So this scroll that it says was written within and without in the book of Ezekiel, what does that mean? I believe that means that the scroll contained all that it could. And there was no room for Ezekiel to say anything else. What it said was what God wanted it to say. It was written on the front and the back. It was filled up with what God had to say. And Ezekiel needed to accept that. And we need to accept that. Accept only what God has to say, and not add to it or take away from it. So what? How can we apply this to ourselves? What are some of the things that are hard for us to accept? What are some of the things that are hard for us to digest? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 tells us to love our enemies. Does anybody have a problem with that? That's hard. It's three words. Love your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. But that's very hard to do. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to submit to one another. That's difficult. Matthew chapter 10 tells us that we need to carry our cross, that we need to lose our own life. We need to sacrifice ourselves. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us that we need to be concerned about others and give up our liberties to help others. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us to lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, when we partake of the Word, when we consume the Word, you know, sometimes I believe it will be bitter because it's working on us. My dad said many times, if somebody didn't step on his toes once in a while, you know, if he listened to a sermon and a preacher didn't step on his toes and couldn't find something that would affect him, he said that he was a very bad shot. Because the Word is going to affect us. And when we read it, when we preach it, when we study it, when we meditate upon it, and when we take all of it, it's going to have an effect on us, because we're going to find that we're out of sync, that we're going to find that we're out of alignment somewhere with God's Word if we are honestly and sincerely seeking what the Word has to say. Yeah, there's so many things just that I've just read here. Laying aside malice and deceit, envy, evil speaking, those things are difficult for many of us. Ezekiel was also told to go and speak to the house of Israel. This was the force of his commission. This is what he was supposed to do. He had to eat that scroll in order to speak the words that he had eaten. And that's our task as well, to consume the Word of God and then use what it is that we have learned to go and teach others. Paul told Timothy the things that Timothy had learned. He wasn't to keep it to himself. He was to go and commit those things to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. So many need to take up that responsibility to preach the Word as these prophets did. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For of necessity it is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." How many people really feel that way about the gospel? Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. What is it that you're hungry for? Are you really hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry for entertainment? Will you eat what it is that God provides in His Word? Or do we want to do like some kids do when they eat a sandwich and cut the crust off and just take away the parts that we don't want? And we need to eat it all. Just as Ezekiel was told, you eat all of this scroll. You take all of God's Word. Let's take all of God's Word and consume it and use it in our life and use it to teach others. I hope these things will be an encouragement to you. If in any way that you're subject to the invitation today, you want to become a Christian, or if you started that life and haven't been faithful to Him, we're not promised the blessing of time. We have the time right now to make things right so that we can have a hope of a home in heaven. If we can help you in any way to do that, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.